It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Cougars by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte here, and we're pumped to welcome in our next guest to the show, passing game coordinator for the BYU football program, Fessy Satake, fresh off that experience in Cleveland last week at the NFL Draft. Fessy, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Always great to be with you guys.
Yeah, happy to have you on board as always. And, you know, the NFL Draft's one of my favorite events, and I've always wanted to attend one. So I got to start things off. Just what's it like in that green room? What's some of the cool things that you saw? What's that whole dynamic like being there like you were with Zach and his family?
It was such a cool experience, man. Like you guys, I'm sure you grow up watching that event every single year. And you see these guys celebrating such a huge accomplishment. Their lives changing. A lot of times you have no idea who these people are, but you feel this natural, excitement and joy for these people. Well, you times that by a million, and that was the case with Zach because of our obvious tie to him. So cool to sit there and to watch live time, the emotion settle in, the reality that he has just become this number two overall pick, that he's accomplishing his goals of signing an NFL contract, all those things. And then you look around and you see all the other guys who were there. I think there were 11 others. There were 12 total. You see them and their families and all of them experiencing, you know, having their own moments, and just such a cool feeling. What an unforgettable experience. You know, I'll always remember, and just glad I was able to be a part of that.
You mentioned growing up watching the draft. Mitch and myself, same thing. Just loved watching the draft. At least for me, Fessy, I would prefer the draft over like cartoons at a little age. Just loved watching the draft. What were some of the things that you observed from being there that you thought were cool or just interesting from the perspective of us fans that watch the draft so often but have never been?
Well, it's cool. Like, just you're hanging out in the lobby a guy like Patrick Surtain and Kyle Pitts walks by and they embrace Zach, and there's just this mutual respect towards each other and no ego. Like, these guys could be very well future competitors, and just to see the mutual respect that they have for each other, not knowing each other, having an invested relationship, because I think they all share something in common and how much work and sacrifice it took to get to those positions that they're in. So it's really just cool to see those guys interact, walking by each other. And then just to kind of meet the parents and families of some of these other guys who were going through the same experience, the different dynamics, circumstances they had, just how down to earth and genuine, you know, all these people are. You know, you only see them through one lens a lot of the time, just watching them, how good they are at their position. And so it was just cool to kind of get a glimpse into a different part of their life.
Fessy, I thought it was cool and it was neat that, you know, you and Kalani and A-Rod were all there with Zach. Because I kind of feel like you three guys, along with, of course, Zach and his family, but from a coaching perspective, you guys were three of the early people that really believed in Zach. And even Zach's noted it that, you know, when you were at Weber State, you, you know, formed a relationship with Zach and were aware of him. I believe his first offer was from Weber State when you were there. Just what's your first memory of Zach Wilson and when you maybe knew that he was going to be a special football player?
Yeah. First memory was just, like I said, when I offered him and to see, I still remember it like yesterday, the expression on his face of just like the relief. I got my first, you know, scholarship offer. One of the best parts of coaching, no doubt, is being able to extend scholarship offers. And then I was just the whole year I had basically of just being his only offer and to be able to monopolize on that time and to be able to build a relationship. That's one that I cherish to this day and that I think we'll cherish for the rest of our life. That was really cool and something I was super grateful to be a part of. But man, we knew he was going to be special the day he stepped foot on campus. As a true freshman walking on here onto campus, the way he carried himself in a very confident way, but still maintained a level of humility. Like, we knew this guy was going to be special. Just how he approached every single day, obsessing over his position, over film. Loved football, the way he rallied troops together and would throw with guys. Like, you could just see there was a star in the making. And obviously he had some obstacles that he had to overcome and some injuries he had to fight through, but he did. And that's what Zach does. And it's cool to see it where he started to where he's at right now.
Fessy Satake is our guest here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Seeing Zach selected number two and knowing that you guys were there, it brought me back to a memory from his freshman season at Boise, where he engineers that drive and gets you guys in a position to win that football game, and you end up not winning it. I remember seeing you go out there and you talk to him. Fast forward 3 years, you're at the draft with him. What's impressed you the most just during from freshman year until now on how he's progressed and how he's now the starting quarterback for the Jets?
Just that. And that's cool you brought that up, because the three, when you talk about the three impressions I have of him, like, it's when I offered him his scholarship, just the relief that you had on his face. It was that game after Boise when I grabbed his face mask as a freshman who was trying to manufacture a game-winning drive against the school he had just decommitted from. And then it was the look he had in that green room when he got on the phone. Like, those three faces in Zach will be forever ingrained in my head. But back to the Boise one, like, I remember that. The glossy look on his face of just disappointment. And hurt and frustration, but you could see a fire that, like, this is not going to happen anymore. Like, I'm done with this, right? And so to see the growth that's happened from that moment, you know, where I was able to see his face and just, you know, feel as much as I could without being him, man, he's overcome so much. He's overcome so much, so many obstacles, has fought through so much adversity. He's grown so much as an individual, as a teammate, as a man. It's really been, like, people talk about coaches a lot, obviously, but we've learned more from Zach than he has from us.
Bessie, turning the page a little bit from that just fantastic 2020 season, summer's here, then fall camp and the season, and you look at that wide receiver room, it's just loaded with talent. So many returning guys mixed with, you got the transfers and the Nakua brothers and just young guys who have yet to see the field, but a lot of promise there. How do you plan on giving these guys opportunities to earn a rotation in this upcoming season? Cause it's so much talent, a lot of guys, and not everyone can play.
Yeah. That's going to be the challenge. And it's a good challenge. That's my job, is to bring out the best, and competition does that. And so there's going to be enough reps to be spread out, and some guys are going to have to take advantage of those opportunities. Some may get a little more opportunities or reps than others. The bottom line is everyone's going to have an opportunity, and that's just not in fall camp. These guys know that right now, like, as we're speaking and headed into summer, that's really where it's going to come more, and how much these guys sacrifice, how much they perfect their craft in the off season when no one's watching, how strong they can get, how fast they can get, how much they can master this playbook. When day one fall camp comes, I really can tell who really approached the summer with some purpose and who didn't. And so a lot of that will take care of itself. My decision-making a lot of times comes within those first couple of days. And some people are like, oh, you got to give these guys a chance. Oh, no, they've had 3 months of a chance, right? So with the competition being upped, that fire, these guys feel it a little bit. But it's healthy though. I think all these guys are excited for the opportunity. So am I, and I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, as Matt mentioned, you add Puka and Samson Nacua, and gosh, my first memory of Puka Nacua, I remember he was at a passing kind of clinic, and I don't know if it's a clinic, but it was just weeks after Zach Wilson enrolled at BYU in 2018. It was with Margin Hooks, and just remember thinking, man, this guy, this is like a grown man as a high school junior. You add Puka Nacua, you add Samson Nacua. They're talented guys. I think everyone knows that. But what are you also getting maybe off the field too? Because it feels like the program has really seen significant strides in the way it conducts itself off the field too. I mean, just what type of guys, players are you getting in the Nacua brothers?
They are great people. They got such a good heart, both of those guys. They come from a great family. Football's obviously in their bloodline. These guys love football. They've gone through a lot of adversity in their life, and it's molded them to be the type of guys they are today. Super loyal. They're the type of guys that will always have your back no matter what. You know, a lot of our players I know are going to love having them as teammates. And so they're great people. They're the type of guys that I can't wait for my kids to just constantly be around, and because they're just everyday normal people who enjoy life and love being around, and they obviously happen to be very talented players as well. So I'm just super excited for the addition of those two and what they're going to bring to our room.
And I'm curious too, Fessy, with all the excitement about the NFL draft and the program, have you maybe seen not just only the wide receiver room, but have you seen maybe an uptick in just the intensity of the preparation that these guys are putting in? Because there's kind of a set precedent with the five guys that were drafted. They all just, the calling card is that they were just relentless workers. Zach and Dax, I mean, they put in tons and tons of work, and they were prepared in their craft. Have you maybe seen an impact from those results at the NFL draft and what is maybe transpiring with the guys in the program right now?
Absolutely. I was talking about this with a player the other day. Is you look at these tech companies, a lot of these are branch off of companies that have been super, super successful and proven. And the reason why is they take these same models and they apply them, and you try and just improve and get better at that. And that's what it is. All these guys have seen firsthand now what it takes to get to the next level, right? At least to get started at the next level, the work ethic, the things you have to sacrifice, the level of talent you have to have. So all these guys now see that. And there's this added motivation now to try and even do better, to improve. Like, this is what I loved about Dax. I'm not surprised he went to the NFL, but now what can I do better maybe that Dax didn't do or didn't have? And that's really what it's all about. It's just trying to improve. So that uptick you're talking about is real. These guys feel it. And there's that, you can feel the way they're training right now. There's just extra motivation and hunger to keep that cycle going and improve on the previous year.
What does the rest of the summer look like for the coaches and for the players? Obviously, a lot of individual work, but what's the plan as you get ready for fall camp?
Yeah, players is straight lifting, running, doing player run practices, and they'll do great with that stuff. They always have. For us as coaches, we hit the camp circuit pretty hard starting June 1st, where we're able to get out and evaluate with some guys, which will be a breath of fresh air. I feel like we haven't been able to recruit in person for, you know, multiple years, and so it's going to be nice to be able to get guys on our campus and evaluate them and you know, shake it up and be able to talk and have face-to-face conversations. So, and then up until then though, it's just prepping for the fall, you know, fall camp, managing our roster, you know, looking at opponents, self-scouting ourselves and seeing what we can improve on and looking at our personnel. So just a lot of that stuff up until June is camps. And then July, you know, you'll see a lot of coaches just taking some time off, which is healthy, and Kalani really, really puts a premium on. You guys better get out and have some balance in your life. And so I know most of the coaches will be taking some time off in July, but we're always going to be doing football too. So
when the team takes the field, you're going to have obviously a new role as a passing game coordinator. What does change from being wide receiver coach to now passing game coordinator? What other additional roles do you now have in Aaron Roderick's offense?
I think just there's not a ton of change. I mean, aside from the title, I just think A-Rod and I are you know, we're just going to be having a lot more conversation about, you know, he's giving me a lot more freedom and responsibility to present something to him. You know, in the past, it was just a lot more collaboration, bouncing ideas off of each other. We're still going to do all that. But I think you know, I think he's given me some more freedom to bring some ideas to the table. And, you know, we're one of the same mind. I know that in 3 years we've been here, Aaron and I, I don't want to say there's going to be like no change, but I wouldn't expect a ton, to be honest. We're just going to keep doing what we've done. And that's share ideas about how we can have an effective passing game. And, you know, if roles change, if there's specific role change coming up in the future, you know, I can shed light on that. But as of right now, headed into it, I don't see much change happening.
And from a personnel standpoint too, you know, we talked, it's always trendy to talk about the new guys, and Puka and Sampson are warrant such conversation, but man, you return in that wide receiver room some talented players, especially in Gunnar Romney, who was the king of college football when it comes to getting stopped at the 1 or 2 yard line last year. The guy would have had insane touchdown numbers had he not been stopped so many times. But Gunnar comes back. Neil Pau, Chris Jackson seems like he was kind of a bright spot of spring. Just maybe speak to the rest of that room, then how much depth is in the wide receiver position right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. As you mentioned, those guys are just as big a piece as in this puzzle. You know, Gunnar and Neil, obviously starting with them, it just had so much production last year. You know, Dax stat wise obviously took the cake on some of those things, but those two made critical plays all year from beginning to end and were huge contributors in this offense. Well, then you factor in those guys who were ready to go on deck last year: Keanu Hill, Chris Jackson, Cody Epps, Terrence Fall. You bring home Chase Roberts. You got a guy, Cade Moore, who has another year under his belt. You know, there's a ton there to work with. And this is going to be a whole nother year these guys have to improve and get better. So we have a ton of depth, as we mentioned before. I'm excited what these guys do, and I have some tough decisions to make.
All right. He is Fessy Satake, the passing coordinator, wide receiver coach down at BYU. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. Have a great summer, and I'm sure we'll catch up soon before the season begins.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
That's Fessy Satake, BYU passing game coordinator here on Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll break down that wide receiver room that he has for the 2021 season coming up next here on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.